otherworldlyculture.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our show. We're glad that you could join us. We have a lot to talk about today. One of the things to talk about right at the beginning is right here. It says box office info from tcole70.com. Yeah, that's going to stop. Did a lot of research, and that's just not good. It's not working, and their information is poor. Now, a lot of people ask, well, why aren't you using Box Office Mojo? If only I could. The problem is they didn't get their information, I think, starts in, like, 1980, which, you know, for most people's use, that's plenty good enough. But for what we're doing, doesn't quite work. So let me... this one? There we go. But first of all, I should probably introduce myself. Hi. This is otherworldlyculture.com, and I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, for Box Office Biggies. And really glad that you could all join us today. Oh, that's interesting. We will have our chat right over. Jeez. There we go. Right there. You know, I should just adjust that. Just a shave and a haircut. There we go. Just like that. That's a little bit better. Okay. So, ready for today's show. Okay. So, I got rid of that Tcole 90 whatever nonsense. And I found a website that is going to be perfect for our use. It is the ultimatemovierankings.com. And that's where we're going to get our box office information, but also some other neat information. Now, if you don't know about Ultimate Movie Rankings, it's a favorite website of mine. I forgot that they had where you could do all the box office stuff. What they did is they took... Well, they're attempting to take every movie that's ever been made. I think they got something like 35,000 movies that they have done. And they put together an ultimate rating as to how good the movie is. So they take the box office results, and that receives 30% of the equation. Then they take the critics and audience reception, which gets 46% of the equation. And it takes things from Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, Metacritic, Yahoo Movies, Fandango, all these things, and it sticks them all together. And then the final 24% is award recognition. Golden Globes get about 5%, which I believe is too high because it's the best award money can buy. The Oscars get 13%. So anyway, you can go to ultimatemovierankings.com and read all about their thing. Every time I read this, I'm like, my God, these guys put a lot of work into this. But it's a lot of fun. It's a good website. And luckily, they have good information. And that's key and important to me at this point. So, I think it's time to go to our time machine. Wait, here we go. Let's go to the time machine and go back to that magical year, 1952. there we go. Hey, it isn't easy running a time machine. Okay, it's just not easy. Whew. All right. So we're getting our stuff ready here for 1952. You know, I forget every time if we're going from 1 to 7 or 7 to 1. I think we're going from 1 to 7. I think that's what we had decided on. So we're going to do that. But first, what we need to do is we need to take a look at how much movie tickets cost at that time. We're supposed to take a look at movie tickets, how much they cost at that time. We're supposed to look at, there they come. I don't know why I find that funny, because it's not doing what it should do. The movie tickets were 56 cents in 1952, so it's going to take a while to get up to that the top numbers with that out there. So, and yeah. Okay. Let's just hit that. There we go. Unbelievable. All right. I think we do go from the top movie to the lowest. So here we go. What was the top movie of 1952? Survey says The Greatest Show on Earth. Now, that's actually a bit of a surprise. Greatest Show on Earth is one of those movies that is much maligned. It's considered the worst movie that ever won an Best Picture. It's not a great movie. It really isn't. But it is a spectacle. It's a giant movie. It makes circuses seem like the most gigantic thing in the world. Now, a lot of people are anti-circus these days. But the movie is remarkably good. Now, it made $32.9 million, which today would be $536.8 million. That is just astonishing. Greatest Show on Earth, the number one movie of 1952. The number two movie... is This Is Cinerama. This Is Cinerama made $28.1 million, made $457.6 million if it would have been released today. Well, if it was released today, I don't know that people would see it. Cinerama, as you know, was a gigantic format of a movie. It made for some gigantic films, and Cinerama, this was kind of a test show. This would be the equivalent of a theme park movie. You know, it's like, okay, let's just show gigantic things on a gigantic screen and people think it's cool. And obviously they did really good with it. That would be a huge take today, $450 million. So yeah, it did really well and probably not the greatest idea for a film. Number three... whoa, come on, let's do this. There we go, number three. My time machine is drunk. Number three was The Snows of Kilimanjaro with Gregory Peck, Susan Hayward, and Ava Gardner. I should mention, so far, every single one of these movies, yeah, shame, shame, shame on me. I have not seen any of the... wait, I shouldn't say that. I saw The Greatest Show on Earth. I didn't see This Is Cinerama. I don't know that anybody that hasn't gone to a Cinerama screen has ever seen that film. The Snows of Kilimanjaro, I have not seen. This is one I actually think I should have seen, and somehow I've missed it all this time. Gregory Peck, I like him. Not as much as a lot of people. And I confuse him with Roger Mitchum a lot. I don't know why, but I do. And he's a good actor. He's a good actor. This is the first of the movies from 1952 that I go, yeah, that's kind of probably a memorable film. Greatest Show on Earth. I don't know. I have twisted feelings about it. It's big. It's beautiful. I hate what they did with James Stewart in it. I don't know. Ugh. Let's look at number four. Let's see if things turn out better. Let's look at number four. Ivanhoe. And I am ashamed to say this one I have not seen either. And it's a Robert Taylor film, just like 1951's number one, Quo Vadis, which I watched this past week with my father, and it's a good movie, but it's dated, and it's kind of hard to get through at times because it is like 3 hours long. And unlike some of the Sword and Sandals films, Ben-Hur, my beloved Ten Commandments, there's more activity that happens in those movies. You know, there's a chariot race. There's locusts coming down. There's Yul Brynner saying, "You will stand when I stand." No, he doesn't say that. But he does say, "So it shall be written, so it shall be done." But that's my Yul Brynner, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I have. Peter Ustinov is good as Nero, but it's bloated. It's a bloated film. It's had too many snacks. Okay, so let's go to our next one. That was 4, right? Yes, that was 4. We are now going to number 5. Finally, we get to one of my favorites, Hans Christian Andersen. I'm Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah. Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Yes, with Danny Kaye. I don't know. Who else does say is in there? And I don't know that there's any other celebrities. It really doesn't matter. I think this is Danny Kaye's best movie. A lot of people like Court Jester. White Christmas, I can't really count because it's a Christmas movie. It seems like it's in a separate bunch. It's probably between those two. I love this movie. Very well done. Great songs. Good story. It bobs along at a fast pace. It's emblematic of the 1950s musicals. Just beautiful to watch on screen. Hans Christian Andersen. 16.7 million it made, which would have been 271.8 million today. That still would have landed it in top 5, I think, today. So Hans Christian Andersen, I highly recommend going to see that one. Number 6. What? I just talked about a great musical, and the next one is probably considered one of the greatest musicals ever made. Singing in the Rain made $12.4 million. Not bad by that standard at the time. Be about $201 million today. Here's the thing. Let me show you number 5 again. I think you probably forgot already. Let me show you number 5 again. There it is. Hans Christian Andersen. Now, I love this movie. I like it a lot. I think it's very good. Beat Singing in the Rain. It made more money than Singing in the Rain. Think that one over. I have no answers for you. I have zero answers. I do not know how that happened. Also, how did this movie not get the Oscar? Here's the thing. I'm getting upset. Here's the thing. Today they make the lamest freaking movie they can, but if it's got a showbiz angle, it gets award recommendations and it wins all sorts of awards. This is a movie about making movie musicals, in particular, well, going to talkies. Yeah, they're musicals. And this didn't win. What? What? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then it came in 6th. It came behind a demo reel of Cinerama. Let that sink in. Somebody went and took a big camera, put it on a roller coaster, tightened up the bolts, and they ran on that roller coaster. They put it on a huge screen. People wanted to see that more than Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor, and Gene Kelly sing "Good Morning, Good Morning." You didn't know I was going to sing on the show. Yeah, you should have probably thought so. All right, so that's Singing in the Rain at a measly six. A measly six. I haven't looked at the ultimate movie rating since last week when I put this together. If this isn't the number one movie of 1952, I'm going to be like berserk. All right, number seven. I hate to say this. 1952 must be a blind spot. I have not seen this. Sailor Beware, Martin and Lewis movie. 11.9 million, 195 million basically today. Think about that for a second, folks. Think about that. What we're talking about is a comedy. Comedies don't make 200 million too often. That's how big Martin and Lewis were. They put these things out and people would go and they would spend their money. It's astonishing to me how much these Martin and Lewis movies made back in the day. So that's our movies. Let's take a look at the top seven. Okay, our top seven. The Greatest Show on Earth. With 32.9 million. Unbelievable. It made, what is that? That's almost three times as much as Singing in the Rain. It makes me angry. This is Cinerama at 28.1. Snow's a Kilimanjaro, 18.1. Ivanhoe, 17.4. Hans Christian Andersen, 16.7. Singing in the Rain, 12.4. And just below 12 million, Sailor Beware from 1952. Okay, now I have a new graphic. Where the heck is it? Where we get to look at the ultimate. Don't tell me it didn't work. I thought we were going to do that. Nope, we didn't do it. Okay. So, let me go to the Ultimate Movie Rankings website. Oh, jeez. I should not have done that. Oh, wow. Okay. Don't use that. Horrible. That's horrible. Let's see. This was set up for me, and now I lost it. We're going to quickly look at the year 1952. I'm not going to press those 1952. That sets off alarms. Here we go. 1952. The top movie of course. Okay, they got all that. Where are the ratings? Here we go. Top rated Ultimate Movie Score. Oh, this is interesting. This was, I'd have to switch a lot of stuff around, but this was just behind Sailor's Aware. High Noon. Highest rated for the year. It had a measly 9.4 million that it made. But because of their Oscar nominations and wins, and the reviews, which are over the top, it did very well. Singing in the Rain still comes in behind The Greatest Show on Earth. That's got a lot to do with those Oscar wins of Greatest Show on Earth. Quiet Man came in at four. And Moulin Rouge with Jose Ferrer came in at six. Ivanhoe five. Hans Christian Andersen down at seven. That one got hurt by the movie reviews. This is Cinerama somehow still got in an eight, but it made so much money. What else came out that year? See, I have to somehow get this up on the screen. Come Back, Little Sheba. You know, I think I can. Let's try this. We're going to try something live, everybody. Scooby-Doo. Let's see if it works. There it is. It's pretty big. Yeah. Okay, we're going to scroll down the page. This is the ultimatemovieratings.com website. Okay, we're going to do this. Yeah, shrink it there. We're going to move this in. This might be the way we do it in the future. Then we're going to take this, move it down. Then we're going to make it a lot bigger. Because I'm nearly blind, as everybody knows. Oh, come on. You didn't get to let us zoom in? Well, that stinks. Do you see what I have to deal with? This is something we'll have to work on. Okay, so we got Moulin Rouge here. This is Cinerama. With a Song in My Heart, Come Back Little Sheba. I haven't seen most of these. The Bad and the Beautiful I've seen. Surprised that there's only an 85% for his critics love that movie because Kirk Douglas plays such a badass in that thing. Son of Paleface, Bob Hope was always doing well back then. He made a lot of money for the studio. Bend in the River, never heard of that. The Stooge, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis made another movie. That one made 9.7. Wow, that's just behind the other one. They made two movies that were huge in the same year. Wow. Okay. Stars and Stripes Forever, that's a fantastic movie, folks. If you have not seen that one, it is the story of John Philip Sousa with one of my favorite actors, Clifton Webb, playing the part. Oh my God, there's another Martin and Lewis right after it, Jumpin' Jacks. Holy cow. They were just handing money to those guys. They were huge box office back then. Crimson Pirate comes in at 20. That only made 6.9 million at the time. Wow. Okay. Road to Bali. That's one of the road pictures by Bing and Bob. They were not making that good of money anymore at that point. Well, 8.3. That's decent. That's a decent take. $1 Million Mermaid with Esther Williams at number 25. Boy, the critics don't help that one. Five Fingers with James Mason. Never heard of that one. I know about 5,000 Figures of Dr. T. Yeah. Viva Zapata I've seen. All the Ma and Pa Kettle movies. Boy, they made a lot of money for them. Wow. And then you got Monkey Business down at 31, Cary Grant and Marilyn Monroe at 5.6 million. That is pretty cool. This is excellent. And I really enjoy looking that stuff over. Let me see. I'm going to look at my cheat sheet here. Any biggies that we need to talk about? The Prisoner of Zenda with James Mason was made that year, only 5.8 million for that one. Francis Goes to West Point was made in 5.6. I don't think Donald O'Connor was still on it at that point. There's a lot of garbage movies. Jack and the Beanstalk with Abbott and Costello. That was made in 1952 with Buddy Bear. That is the uncle to Max Baer Jr., who is Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies. And he was also in that Quo Vadis movie that I just watched. Yeah, this gets to be a slog down here. Abbott and Costello Meet Captain Kidd. So they were pumping out movies with some rapidity as well, but they were not making the money that Martin and Lewis were. Oh boy. Big money there. Wow, there's a lot of stinkers in here. Bonzo Goes to College with Maureen O'Sullivan. 0.7 million. That's got to be one of the lowest grossing movies of her career. Let's see. That's got to be way down there. No, there was one called The Sphinx with Richard Pryor, of all people. She must have been 108. Yeah, it's their second lowest ranked film. Maybe not box office. There are some, but she made a lot in like the 30s. So can't totally go by that. But yeah, whatever. Interesting. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to that year. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, that's what we have for the year 1952. All right, we're back in the command center. And as you can see, we have absolutely no live viewers. Well, they're not commenting anyway. I think we got Richard in there. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty quiet. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm doing this show, as you know, so that I can get to know some movies, get some ideas of some movies that I haven't seen yet. And there's been a lot I've seen, but I have some holes that I want to fill in. And we started in 1950. We're going to go all the way through 2019 if I can figure out how to get everything to work. That's a big if. But if we can, that's what we're going to do. All right. Want to thank everybody that came out for tonight's show. Hope you enjoyed the program. And until next time, have I come up with a closing to this show yet? Until next time, save the aisle seats for us. No. until next time, keep watching movies, folks.